Hello and welcome to our module looking at organic acids.
So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocols.
So the oxalate, right? We know that oxalates are contained in lots of foods, lots of the green foods. We know rhubarb and spinach and Swiss chard are very high in oxalates. And other foods that you may not be thinking about as being high in oxalates, like chia seeds, are actually a fairly high oxalate food. So if you have somebody who's not responding well to chia seeds, who says, oh my gosh, I just feel awful with chia seeds, or I feel awful with certain green smoothies, they may have an oxalate issue. And it can be very subtle, but a lot of autistic kids are found to have problems with oxalates. And when they get them under control, some of their learning problems and their repetitive behavior type problems go away. So glycerolic acid, she was slightly high on. And they're saying that because she is normal, quote unquote normal, she probably doesn't have a genetic indication of oxalic acid problems, but she may have a slight sensitivity. The glycolic acid, glycerolic acid and glycolic acid, and again, that's in somebody who has a genetic tendency, will have that be elevated. She does not have that. Oxalic acid itself may be associated with the dysbiosis, right? So you have a leaky gut as a result of the dysbiosis, and it can cause you to actually leak some of the oxalic acid into the bloodstream rather than being sucked away in the feces. High doses of vitamin C in some people who are oxalate sensitive can get converted to oxalates, which is, those are the people who say, well, some people are sensitive to vitamin C and shouldn't have it if they have kidney stones, and that's the connection. But it's in people who are sensitive to it. Okay, so since she does have yeast or fungal markers elevated, then these slightly marginally high oxalic acid and the glycerolic acid might be related to the problem that she's having with the dysbiosis, the candida, and the various other organisms that we see in there. Okay, so then glycolysis, right? And we'll look at that chart. I think I have a picture of the glycolysis chart. Yeah, further along. If you look at glycolysis, this is the part up at the top of this chart. I'm just jumping ahead, and then we'll jump back and forth, but because looking at the pictures is helpful and then looking at the descriptions is also helpful. So lactic acid, we know when we work out a lot, you get lactic acid buildup in the muscles because you're stuck, you're overtaxing your system, you don't have enough aerobic capacity to actually take it all the way through the citric acid cycle, and so you get that buildup. But this is the pathway that we're looking at. So pyruvate gets converted to lactate, and these require your B vitamins, B1, B2, B3, B5, and lipoic acid, alpha lipoic acid. Okay, so buildups of either pyruvate or lactate, citrate, adipurate, superate, these can all be related to problems with glycolysis. Let's go back there. So lactic acid, we talked about that. It could be a B vitamin deficiency that you're not able to convert. It could be just, you know, poor performance, poor oxygenation as well. And there are many inborn errors of metabolism associated with lactic acid. You're not going to see a lot of those inborn errors of metabolism because they tend to be relatively rare. But problems with sugar metabolism can certainly be involved. Pyruvic acid, okay? When it's elevated, you're not converting to lactic acid, and it's this back and forth. So it could be an inborn error of metabolism, of course, but it can also be mitochondrial dysfunction, B vitamin deficiency. And so we want to compare this to what's happening in the Krebs cycle. They just give you an idea. And then hydroxybutyric acid is a ketone body, which is produced when you're using fatty acids for oxidation. So if somebody's on a very low carbohydrate diet, you know, say they're trying to get their stuff under control, they're burning fats more for fuel than they are carbohydrates. And you might see this hydroxybutyric acid. This would indicate that they are on more of a ketogenic diet. And it really doesn't mean a whole lot. So this is the picture. We're going to look at the Krebs cycle in just a bit as well. So you see that you've got fats, carbohydrates, and protein can all be converted to energy, and they have different pathways and have different cofactors. So you need carnitine to be able to convert fat and to use that adequately. So if somebody goes on a really low carbohydrate diet to control their blood glucose and they feel really bad and they feel low energy, they may need some carnitine to help shuttle those fatty acids across the membrane and get them into the mitochondria so that they can be converted to acetyl-CoA, which is the substrate that goes into the Krebs cycle. So all of these, the fats, the carbohydrates, and the proteins, need to be converted to acetyl-CoA. Okay, and then we've got the Krebs cycle, which, you know, we go along here, and we can come back here as we look some of these things, but it goes through these various pathways with various amino acids and vitamins and minerals that are required. So what we're going to be looking for when we look at the citric acid cycle, the Krebs cycle, they're synonymous, we will be looking at, are there buildups of certain of these intermediate metabolites, which means that the acetyl-CoA is not making its way all the way through, which means that you're not making enough energy as a result. So people who have low energy will often see citric acid cycle or Krebs cycle problems here. So we're going to look at those things, and based on where it's stuck, like say it's all of these guys are fine on the right-hand side, but we get here and we have a buildup of 6 and 8 or fumarate, it's indicating that maybe we have a deficiency of magnesium or niacin, so we're not able to move those. Or maybe some of the branch chain amino acids, the leucine, isoleucine, valine are low, and even methionine. And so this gives us an indication. So I'm just giving you an overview, and then we'll come back. So succinic acid is a Krebs cycle metabolite. She had this elevated, and it may be, like I said before, a deficiency in riboflavin, vitamin B2, or CoQ10. You need both of these. So we'd want a supplement. And the beauty of these reports is a lot of times they will give you some suggested supplementation levels to start with to help person bypass some of these blockages. Okay, so 20 milligrams of riboflavin, 50 milligrams of CoQ10 could be a good starting point. Doesn't mean it's the end-all point. You may want to see that. If you see some improvement, then you can increase that if you want to go for more. Okay, and then fumaric acid, again, if we look back at the chart, going backwards, see, succinic acid is here. Fumaric acid is up here on the left-hand side of the chart. Again, it could be CoQ10. It could be niacin in this case. So supplementing with these, a carnitine, acetyl-L-carnitine are possibilities, riboflavin. So we're looking at some of the B vitamins, the riboflavin and the niacin, biotin, and vitamin E. So they're giving you some places to start if this is low in this particular case. Now, this is all from the general interpretation chart. And you'll see when I go through the general ones, I'll get to the end where the specifics for this person are analyzed. Malic acid, okay, could indicate, again, niacin and CoQ10 because of the placement of it. You'd also look at alpha-ketoglutarate, ketoglutaric acids, as indications that we need more niacin and CoQ10 to get all the way through the Krebs cycle. Same thing with the 2-oxyglutaric acid. It's not being converted to succinic acid unless it has sufficient coenzyme A from pantothenic acid. So pantothenic acid becomes really important when people are low energy. We talk about that when people have chronic fatigue or they have adrenal fatigue, pantothenic acid being important because it's helpful for, it's needed to create coenzyme A. Lipoic acid, and then flavin would be riboflavin, which would be vitamin B2. And these are enthiamine. It would be, I can't remember the name of that particular enzyme, but it's basically the B1 and B2. So your B vitamins are really important when people have Krebs cycle metabolite problems. And it's indicating that we don't have enough of the B vitamins or possibly things like magnesium, CoQ10, carnitine. Aconitic acid, again, this is more of an indication that the person needs some glutathione, that it's really important to get from the citrate and the aconitic acid that you need glutathione. Glutathione, as you recall, is a master antioxidant. It's one of the most major ones in the body. And a lot of people have a genetic defect, so to speak, where they can't metabolize. They can't actually, it's a defect in glutathione S transferase, so they're not able to actually create glutathione from the amino acid substrates. And that occurs in 35 to 45% of the population that's been tested genetically. So it's really an important piece and can explain a lot of why people get stuck in the Krebs cycle. And it's inefficiencies in the Krebs cycle that lead to low energy, both on an external energy, like I don't have enough energy to make it through the day, but also the energy of the organs, you know, low energy in the liver, low energy in the lungs, low energy in the digestive tract. And then citric acid builds up. Some people eat a lot of citric acid containing foods because it's a common preservative that's used in foods. And it can actually, some of the intestinal yeast can produce citric acid, but it could be that there's just a block here in the Krebs cycle. So you'd want to be looking at that and consider supplementation. If some of these other things like pyroglutamic acid is also low, it would indicate that we need to get this person on some glutathione NAC or lipoic acid so that they can actually be making more. The Krebs cycle, it just produces so much oxidation byproducts in trying to produce energy for you. And it's really important to have good antioxidant status. A lot of people are eating a lot of refined foods. The refined foods are missing the B vitamins, the riboflavin, the niacin, and the thiamine in particular, that they need to get through the Krebs cycle. So that's sluggish in that regard. Some people have really bad stomach acid. They're not absorbing the proteins adequately, and they're not chewing. They're eating under stress. They're not getting appropriate amino acids to take things through that Krebs cycle. And they're producing all these oxidation byproducts, but eating refined foods and not eating whole, fresh, organic stuff with lots of good antioxidant capacity, the Krebs cycle is going to be stuck. So this test is giving us some good indications of that. So again, this Krebs cycle, but the high succinic, that's marker 16 and 26 because it was an indicator for the gut bacteria, the dysbiosis, but also an indicator for the Krebs cycle. Okay, so this is talking about what to do for this particular person. Okay, I've been struggling with this case and she's been struggling, so maybe some simple things are going to help her to get better, to get the anxiety under control and the hypertension under control. She had high formic acid. Again, the Krebs cycle is not functioning properly, and that's supplementation. Again, CoQ10 is a big one. It keeps coming up throughout this. Niacin, carnitine or N-acetylcarnosine, riboflavin, niacin, and different forms of that, and vitamin E, and they're going to help the mitochondrial dysfunction that's stuck, that's sticking with the formic acid and not being able to get past the formic acid. She does have both aconitic and citric acids. So yes, it could be related to increased citric acid foods. Definitely could be related to that gut overgrowth because we saw that she has a lot of that. And it could also be the glutathione depletion. So getting her levels of glutathione up can be very, very helpful. And I think I've talked to her about taking NAC several times in the past, but it's interesting when you're working with someone and they, you know, just come periodically, which I don't really do anymore, but I've known this woman for, you know, 7 years and she just periodically comes because I'm the only one she trusts. But the point is that when I go to her, you know, I gave her a list of things when she was in and I said, okay, here's some herbs, here's some supplements, let's get you started on this, here's the dietary stuff. And then she's back in, you know, 4 months later, anxious and high blood pressure again, really worried about her blood pressure. And she basically hadn't started half of the stuff that I'd asked her to start. Well, I didn't know about that. You know, I'm going to talk. So it's really hard. You can give people advice, but they don't necessarily take it. So I've really restructured the way I work with people, and I don't do that kind of thing anymore, except, you know, I've been working with her for a long time. She's 75 years old, and, you know, I'm not going to cut her off because she's not going to get in an ongoing program. But I really, this is someone that I would want to be talking to at least a couple of times a month and monitoring and seeing those diet records and seeing the supplement records and just really monitoring on a fine basis. How did this affect you? Did you have any energy from this? Let's take your blood pressure. Another interesting interesting thing about her is she doesn't like to take her blood pressure. She gets freaked out, so she won't take her blood pressure at home. So the only time she gets her blood pressure taken is when she goes into the doctor's office to have the blood pressure taken. I've talked to her about going to the HEB, which is a supermarket here that has a blood pressure cuff, and she doesn't. So it's interesting. This is why I ran this test, because I thought, well, maybe I'll have some ammunition here to actually get her to really start doing some of the things we've been talking about for a while. So that was the Krebs cycle.